Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because we almost there. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. I'm back, baby. I think my head is out of the mental fog of playing 3 days of golf. And as Eric Bickle said, all that entails. We're here. B is off today. Toby Altizer sitting in. It's a perfect day for Tobo. Because we got trouble in Nats Town. Hello, Toby. How do you do?
What's going on, man? Plenty of trouble in Nats Town. Plenty of stuff we got to get into. I mean, it's a disaster over there right now. I'm excited. I'm going to go over there after the show. Brady House making his debut tonight. Excited about that. But it feels like, I mean, you're used to this sort of stuff, JP, covering the disaster that was the Skins for a while.
Yeah, dude.
When things are going bad, let me throw out something else so you can divert some of that energy away.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I was talking to CK earlier. And maybe we can wait to get into this, but I can't help but, like, just as somebody that is aware they've lost 8 in a row, 11 out of 13, and aware that Davey kind of stepped in it and then kind of doubled down in stepping in it in his comments, you know, you start to wonder how long the banner keeps you safe, right? And 2019 was a long time ago. Also, they never really got their victory parade because of COVID and everything else. Like, even the victory parade might keep everybody safe. But eventually, you know, Bobby Bowden got fired. Like, Pat Riley got fired. Guys get fired. I mean, that's the industry coaches are in. I don't know what's going to happen with Davey, obviously. I think Riz is such a try to keep the big perspective in mind.
Well, and they're kind of tied at the hip. Riz and Davey have been very close, and they work closely together on a lot of stuff. So I wonder if he's going to try to give him, you know, I think Riz has a safer chance than Davey, especially after Davey's comments.
If they fire Mike Rizzo, they're the stupidest bunch of people on the planet.
I don't think they're going to
fire
Riz. You
can put that on a quote board, whatever you want to do. He's not the problem. Ownership's the problem.
Correct.
And I'm going to try to be cool and understand the bigger picture of, like, the individual 8-game losing streak and, like, the comments don't help. Because I get it, and I always go back to, well, you don't spend any damn money,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
And I want to be more fully aware of everything occurring, okay? Like, I get that, and I understand, you know, Nats fans that are – dude, it's funny. So, happy Father's Day to all from yesterday. I hope, you know – I want to be clear, too. Like, you don't have to be the dad to be the dad. Whoever is in charge of kids' lives, whoever's picking up and dropping off at soccer practice and making lunches, whoever you are out there, we got love for you. It's funny. So one of my favorite things to do on Father's Day, because I always used to go with my dad, is Tasty Diner. It's this little diner in Bethesda. It's one of the few things that's been around a really long time. And I went there yesterday for breakfast. My wife, be honest here, my wife pretty much hates going there. It's there's not a lot of, like, yogurt parfaits and vegan almond milk. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But they got great corned beef hash, which is my wheelhouse.
I saw that on your story. I was jealous.
Yeah, dude. I got a milkshake at, you know, 10 a.m. I
was awesome.
Living. But it's old school, so you're kind of packed in there. And the place was jumping. We had to wait a couple minutes, and all good. I love those people. I love that place. And at the booth next to me, two dudes, it would remind me if it was like you and your dad, or maybe even like you and your uncle, or possibly a grandfather, like the ages. But all decked out in Nats gear. Clearly, they're going to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just debating if Davey's getting canned or not. And it was just interesting for that to be the discourse I could hear sitting next to me. And the old dude's like, you got to fire him. He's got to go. And the younger guy's like, I don't know. We'll see. And And for that to be the conversation right now, when they're 30 and 41, so a week ago, they were like three games under 500. And it's just funny what one bad week can do. They're 1-9 in their last 10. I go back to, you don't spend any money. This is a problem of your own making, but that doesn't change individual decisions night over night. And Toby, you just said it. So they're calling up Brady House tonight, by far their best hitting prospect. A lot of excitement for that. And I can't help. I said this to CK. I remember when they were going to fire Jay Gruden, right? And this, when was that? 18? 19?
Yeah, sometime around there.
19, because Ron was the next year. So I remember leaving the Meadowlands in, I want to say it was week three. They went up to the Giants and got smoked. And I think Jay is, it was week four. So they start 0-5, right? Because then they lose to the Pats at home. But I remember, and I think Jay has now said this publicly in one of his radio appearances or his wherever he may have said this. But I remember this look on Gruden's face. Leaving the Meadowlands, they just dropped to 0-4. They were 24-3. And I don't know that people all know this, but like, players obviously go take a shower, clean up, change their clothes. Coaches do the same thing. And the head coach, even in away locker rooms, away stadiums, the head coach still has an office with his own private bathroom. And so by the time the coaches are coming out, is usually like pretty late into the process. And I remember just standing there, and the Meadowlands has two exits from the locker room. There's one that kind of goes down to the tunnel down into the stadium, into the playing field, and this other one that goes into this back hallway that takes you to the buses. And I'm just standing back there. In a lot of ways, Toby, sometimes there's leftover food, so I was kind of just waiting to see what might happen once all the team clears out. And I see Jay come out, and he looks around with this look on his face like, when are they going to fire me? Let's get this bleep over with. And it was just so obvious. He knew what was coming because he was put forth to be a sacrificial lamb for a terrible team. The assembly of that roster was god-awful, and it was Bruce. And Jay knows how to coach football. I think he's a brilliant offensive mind. You know, I think if he ever got another crack at it, the leader of men stuff would need some work. But, like, he was set up that year for, okay, we're going to start awful. I mean, I remember on these airwaves, the afternoon host said they're going to start 0-5. What are they going to do? I mean, they were big underdogs in all of those games. And I knew in that moment, he's looking around waiting to get fired. And then I also knew Bruce is waiting for him to go lose to the Pats next week to give Callahan a chance when they go to Miami in week six at a win. Because you want your new guy to have a chance. And this was politics. This was saving face. I always talk about the NFL is a protect your ass type of operation. You know what I mean? Like, it is CYA all day. And I just wonder, dude, with the Rockies coming to town, who are god-awful, you got four games at home against the Rockies. God-awful team. What is the Rockies' record right now?
17-54, I believe.
I mean, what? Four, no. Dyslexia just hit you there, Toby. They're 14-57.
Yeah. So even worse somehow.
So you're calling up this prospect. So the Nats Town fans are excited to see that. You got the Rockies coming to town. If you could take three of four. Now, I don't know if you could take three or four with Davey and everything's cool, or if whoever the hell, what are they going to promote? A bench coach? A pitching coach? Like, it would Ryan be, Zimmerman going to get the job?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably Miguel Cairo, their bench coach, but here's my issue with it, JP.
Like, just on the surface, the political, the self-preservationness of it all, this is the right time.
100%. And my thing is, when you look at what Davey has been good at in his time here in D.C., his best attribute and why they won the World Series in 19, frankly, it's not his managerial skills in terms of making pitching changes, setting
Stay
a lineup.
In the fight.
He is such a good motivator. He is so good in the clubhouse.
Perseverance.
And when you have guys start to lose some of that faith, well, then what is he good for? Because I actually don't think he's that good of a tactical manager. Like, he's not great with pitching changes. I've always had problems with that. I don't think he's great at lineup construction. And look, some of that is, he doesn't necessarily have stuff to work with, but regardless, I've never thought that he was great. And it's funny because the dichotomy of all that is I don't know that there's a single manager in the history of baseball that could have managed the 19 postseason in terms of how he managed that pitching staff any better. So I don't know how in the world he flipped a switch for the 19 postseason where he was nails, but the rest of his time, even in 2019, before they got to the postseason, it was questionable at times with the way they'd manage in games. But he was always so good at keeping his guys focused. His guys were positive. I thought he was good for this rebuild in terms of James Wood, Dylan Cruz, C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, all these guys. They needed a steadying force because there was going to be a lot of losing that was going to come with this rebuild, and they needed a guy that was going to keep them positive. And Davey, for the most part, has done a great job of this. And when you think about Davey's time here, how many times has he gone to the podium and stood up for players that neither of us would have stood up for,
right,
that no Nats fan would have stood up for? And so for him to come out and say on Saturday, oh, it's never the coaching. We work our tails off.
Let's hear the audio.
Yeah.
Let's hear what Davey said, because this, I think, is what has pissed a lot of people off.
When you look at the offense as a whole, I think you guys haven't produced like you wanted to this month. For you, how much of that is on the players, on coaching?
Never on coaching. Okay, coaches work their asses off every single day. You know, we're not going to finger point here and say it's coaches. It's never on the coaches.
Oddly defensive.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't, now you don't think he necessarily meant how it sounded.
No, I think what Davey does a great job of is he loves to take the blame or deflect bullets away from guys that are under fire, right? He does a great job of that with players. I think in turn, what he was trying to do here is he's deflecting some of that away from Darnell Coles, the hitting coach. He stood up for a Jim Hickey or whoever you may talk about on that coaching staff. I think he does a good job of sticking up for them. The problem was, in this case, someone has to be blamed. Someone has to. You've lost 8 in a row. Because after these comments, Andrew Golden talked to him on Sunday before the game and was asking him, hey, so you weren't talking about players? He's like, oh, no, I never mentioned players, which he did mention players a little bit, a little later on in that press conference. But then he's like, it's not coaches either. Well, then who is it, Davey? Like, you have to, at some point, when you lose 8 in a row, it's on somebody. And so I don't think he was trying to purposely throw the players under the bus. But when you say it's never coaching, how could it never be coaching, JP? I've seen guys get thrown out at the plate because your third base coach made a horrible send. I've seen them hold a guy, whether it was Jacob Young or Ricky Gutierrez, on Saturday. It's a decently deep, not overly deep, but medium depth fly ball to left field with Jacob Young on third base with an out. You could have tied the game, and Jacob Young just stays put on third base. Is that not coaching, or is that players? Like, at some point, the players have to get up there, and they have to throw strikes. They have to hit the baseball. His point there is 100% correct. Davey's not stepping in the box. Jim Hickey's not on the mound. Darnell Coles isn't in the box. I get all of those things. So he's right about that. But how could it never be coaching? This team has consistently, under Davey Martinez, been one of the worst base running teams in the bigs. That's not on coaching? You're telling me you can't fix some of that stuff? The players have to execute it, but clearly your principles or whatever you're working on weren't getting through, and you're constantly running into outs on the base pad. So the issue is the phrasing to say it's never coaching, because then it comes across as, well, it's never my fault. It's always the player's fault. And I think for some of the players, it probably just brushes off their back, and they said, Davey stood up for me 100 times. This was a mistake. He didn't clearly mean it. He addressed the team before the game on Sunday. And I'm sure for some of the guys, it was, you know, Davey's our guy still. He just slipped up, no problem. But for some of the guys in that clubhouse, I'm sure it was frustrating. And even Andrew Golden had another report saying that there were some frustrated, dismayed players in that clubhouse before the game on Sunday. Mike Rizzo's down there talking to guys. It feels like that's the beginning of the end, JP. And maybe it rides out the rest of the season, but it feels like that's the beginning of the end when you have a manager inadvertently or purposely, however you want to interpret it, throwing his players under the bus. The players start to get frustrated, and it's a manager that you can't say with the exception of 19, because they won a World Series in 19, but he hasn't been good with the exception of 19, right? So it's a weird spot for them to be in, losing 8 in a row. If they can win 4 against the Rockies, maybe you can fix things a little bit. But JP, they go on the road, then they take on the Dodgers, they take on the Padres, they take on the Angels, they come back home, they take on the Tigers.
Yeah, West Coast swing is going to be
This is
ugly.
A difficult stretch.
It feels, right.
So the worst team in baseball is coming in, maybe in baseball history, is coming to town. If you don't win 3 of 4, frankly, if you really don't win 4 of 4 almost, then we're looking at real dire times for this team. And at some point, changes need to be made, whether it's Davey, whether it's someone else. I'm not the one to make that decision, but something has to happen. You can't constantly have bad results and then expect no changes to be made.
So I hear you, and I hear Nats fans' anger. What did you expect? The owners won't spend any money. Like, I remember it's not that all roads lead back to College Park, right? But I remember when Mark Turgeon was coaching at Maryland, and there was a vocal part of the fan base that wanted him fired. It's like, all right, who are you going to get? What are you going to do that's going to make a difference? Because shout out to Miguel Cairo. Like, I remember him as a player. I looked up his stats. I mean, he was like I just pulled it up. Played 17 years in the bigs. I'm sure he's a nice fella. Never talked to him in my life. You think it's different? Or is this just a need? Yo, we're pissed. They've lost 8 in a row. You made some dumb comments. Somebody's got to go. We need a head to roll. Is this just like the French Revolution? We're just throwing people under the guillotine? Like, something's got to happen? Because I'm not even saying that's necessarily wrong. But, like, whatever happens here, do you think it's going to make any impact? Because I don't.
No, it probably won't. But the reality is, in professional sports, something has to change to appease the fan base, to appease whoever. And it's not going to be all 26 men on the roster somehow go to AAA and they bring up all of Rochester. That's not how it works, right? So the players aren't going to change. They made a couple of changes. They sent down Hassel. They sent down Tana. Here comes House. Here comes Lyle. Maybe they provide a spark, but it's not like all of a sudden everything's going to change from two players. So whether it's the third base coach, whether it's the pitching coach, whether it's the hitting coach, it really doesn't matter. But the fan base has every right to be frustrated because, to your point, ownership hasn't spent. The other issue is last year...
Do they have to spend more? Like, if they fire him, these dudes aren't paying somebody to not
correct.
Work. What's his contractual status? Per Russell, it's up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Dude, you're going nowhere. I
don't know that I'm advocating fire him right now because I don't know what that gets you, but I for sure would be saying we can't have any more of that because your best selling point is that you rally the guys. And if you frustrated the guys, then what are you here for? Because it's not as if he's some genius like, you know, when we talk about Joe Maddon or Craig Counsell or some of these managers,
Bochy.
How they're thinking ahead, right? And they're doing all these analytical things. That's not Davey. So if Davey's not helping you in-game by making a pitching change, one pitcher early, and it works, or whatever he's doing, well, then what exactly is your plan here? How are you helping me if you've somehow frustrated the clubhouse too?
Good tweet here from Will Cavanaugh. He just hit me and said, Davey's comments gives the same energy as Ron Rivera's quarterback comment. Remember when Ron,
yeah.
I don't know. I was there for a lot of the steps with Ron, and that situation was so screwed up that he kind of stuck around because ownership was a mess, and then there was a sale and blah, blah, blah.
To Davey's credit, this is not Davey Martinez-like. Danny said this in the afternoon. I felt this way as well. Davey's someone I'd love to play for. Because he's always stood up for his guys. He could have a dude run into the worst out ever to end a game, and he'd be like, oh, no, we're behind that guy 100%. He's done that a million times, JP. This is a one-off where he came out and essentially threw his players under the bus.
Yeah.
But it's a weird spot to be in where an 8-game losing streak is one thing. We were talking before the show. They had a 7-game losing streak last month.
Right.
So it's not as if this is unheard of. But to have the 8-game losing streak, your manager seemingly throwing people under the bus when that's out of character for him, that's when you know it's really gotten bad. That's when you know when a coach or a manager makes comments like that, that's when you realize that they feel like they're up against the wall, when they can see the end of the road, when they can see that they're kind of running on thin ice here, and he makes that sort of comment. I think he's intending to protect his coaches who are even on thinner ice than him. If you go on Nat's Twitter at all, which, by the way, Nat's Twitter is crazy at times, some of the stuff that they say.
Yeah.
But regardless.
But that's what they're supposed to be.
Absolutely. They're calling for the hitting coach, the pitching coach, on a nightly basis. You throw in the fact that they're questioning the coaches, and then Davey's trying to stand up for him, but then throws the players under the bus. Now Davey gets thrown in with the other coaches. So it's a weird spot. I don't know what the right answer is. To your point, if you fire Jim
Hickey, what are you going to do?
You fire Coles, you fire Martinez. It's not as if all of a sudden the Nationals go on a 12-game win streak and they're back in the playoff chase. It's not really going to change things, but fans have every right to be frustrated when this team was very close to being at .500 and now they're seemingly out of it before the All-Star break.
But the very close to being 500 part, doesn't he deserve some credit for that?
Sure, absolutely.
But
they've done that same thing the last couple of years.
Dude, I get it. And like, even the World Series year, they were 19-31. Yep. They were very famously 19-31. I understand the frustration and kind of the need to feel like something is happening. I wonder if organizationally they think the Brady House thing is that move. I feel similar. Now, the kid's mashing, right? You got to call him up at some point. Let's do it.
Yep.
But you do wonder if it's not a little distractionary. You know, the don't look over here, look over here. I'm not advocating to get rid of Davey. I do understand the comments create an uproar. And it's so easy to say, fire the coach, fire the coach, fire the coach. What are you going to do? Are they going to be better? Like, whoever's next? Or is it just sometimes you get to a point where you got to go. Something's got to happen.
The only reason I would say if you're going to fire Davey is if it's true that he's kind of lost the clubhouse.
Right.
If the clubhouse is just all out, then maybe you have to move on. I don't think that's the case. I think there are guys in there that are frustrated. Maybe guys that haven't had as long a relationship with Davey are frustrated right now. I don't know personally any of that. But I think keeping a steadying force like Davey is good if he's going to continue being that steadying force.
Right.
If he's now divisive, then I don't know what you do.
Here's what I do know as it regards to Davey Martinez. Kind of sounds like he could use a realtor. I'm just saying. Hey, Davey, anybody over in Natstown, you looking to buy or maybe sell? I got the guy for you. His name is John Leahy. Listen to this, man. Like, everybody realizes the real estate market's a little dicey right now. How about this story? My guy Ronald, he loved his house and his neighborhood. They were sentimentally attached, but they're also stressed with needing to get back into D.C. Think about it. A lot of people move further away when they could work remotely. A lot of people got to be back in the office now. So they had to try to figure some stuff out. They lived in the tricky market down in North Beach, Maryland, which is beautiful. It's on the Chesapeake, but it's just a little too far for that daily commute. They weren't exactly sure what to do, and they finally got a hold of the John Leahy team. And what John was able to do, position their property exactly where buyers could see the full value. They had a ton of showings, and within weeks, they were able to get a contract secured at the full asking price. That's getting harder and harder to do. Trust me, if you're looking to buy or sell a house, John Leahy and the Fine Living Group are where you need to be. If you just want to see how much your house is worth, what you're sitting on equity-wise, check out johnsellsdmv.com. He's got the home value tool. You'll find out in only 30 seconds, man. Now's a tricky time. John Leahy's an expert. That's the kind of help you need. Whether you're in North Beach or Northwest D.C., John and his group can get your home sold. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Leahy Group and start packing. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fam. We're live on the stream. The boys are giving me a hard time. So here's what happens. I take a shower, like most Americans, I think. I take a shower in the morning to get ready for work. And a lot of days I comb my hair, I get spiffy. But some days I just throw a hat on. Shout out to Haynes Point. I got this dope-ass hat over there. So this morning I just threw a hat on when my hair was wet. So I took it off and I walk in the room and the aquarium boys are just giving me the business. Say I look rough, say I look terrible. It's just my hair's messy, man. Give me a break, damn it. But here's where we've landed, Toby, and it's B. Mitchell Finley. B's playing golf today. Great cause, the intentional golf tournament. I hope those guys don't get weather impacted. And it's one thing to play in rain. I'm talking about the horn blowing. I hope the horn doesn't blow on them. I believe they're out at Woodmont, which is a great track. Toby, help me understand. I personally, my gut, Davey ain't going anywhere, at least not today. If there was to be a change, wouldn't it have been last night? Like, doesn't he have...
You would think so.
When does he have... Like, reporters talk to him in the clubhouse, like, 2 o'clock or something,
yeah, right?
Yeah,
right after our show. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I don't think this thing's happening.
It's not happening today.
I don't think it should. Honestly, I get the frustration, and if it's just like, I need a pound of flesh, okay. I can understand the frustration. Who are you going to get? What's going to be better?
I think some of the frustration is people view the guys that have been brought in to be coaches around Davey are just his buddies, and they're not living up to their standard, and so he's going to bat for them. Understandably so. That's what he does a really good job of, and he's going to bat for them, but they're not doing their jobs, and people are saying, just make a change, please. Any change, and no changes are made. I think part of the frustration, JP, is not even necessarily this year. They're frustrated that there weren't changes made last year when we were having the same discussion about base running, about hitting, about pitching, and no changes were made. Matter of fact, all of the coaches were retained. And so I think that's some of the frustration.
How much of that, though, because I would know this, in the football world, I would know these answers. And maybe these answers aren't available, right? How much of not changing anything is ownership not wanting to pay contracts out to fire guys? Because I would guess that's part of it.
I think they were up. I think that's part of the issue. I think they were up. I'd have to double check.
Well, who do we have? We have
Spencer coming up.
Spencer should know that, right?
Yeah, I would think
so. Put a pin in that. Let's ask him that.
Yeah,
because
that's where the frustration comes from, a lot of it.
The frustration for me is all roads lead back to ownership, not spending.
100%. I completely agree with that as well. I think that's part of the thing. Last year, it's not as if he had more to work with, but the bullpen was better last year. So
I want to get to the phones. Anna is in Fairfax, and she's fired up. Hello, Anna.
How are you guys?
We're great.
Long-time listener here, first time calling in for you guys. Love your show.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
Let me tell you, I watched that game Saturday, watched players not run from third, don't care. But when Davey threw his team under the bus, he should have been fired immediately. No decent coach ever throws your team under the bus. I don't care if it was their fault. At some point, you're a coach, and you need to take responsibility. Dan Quinn would never have said that, ever. He would have taken every piece of responsibility for a football team and said, it's on me. It's on me and the coaches, not the team. I felt so bad for those players. It's like, I mean, yes, I understand what God knows we're never going to spend money, not as long as the learners. But at some point, you do not throw your team under the bus. You've got to stand up and have some balls and take ownership. Take ownership that you screwed up. Someone's screwing up, and I feel like he has lost the locker room. You could see the apathy yesterday. It's like you could just see him playing like, who cares? Because I sure as hell wouldn't care. Somebody threw me under a bus. You're lucky they even showed up for the game yesterday.
Anna, that's a terrific call. You call in anytime.
I'm sorry. I mean, my husband has coached teams. We've all coached, our children or whatever. Never once you say, it's the kid's fault. It's the team's fault,
sure.
Not mine.
Sure.
I mean, hello. When I was playing, blah, blah, blah. Davey, it's been so damn long since you played the game. The game isn't even the same game when you played. And I understand the learners will never spend the money, and this is how it's going to be. But at some point, you just suck it up and say, you know what? We're going to suck, but I'm going to back my team. I'm going to tell them, good job, guys, good job. But, I mean, how would you feel if they threw you under the bus? How good would you feel about going out the next day?
If you're telling me it's visible, just guys not running stuff out, then hell yeah, you're correct.
I mean, you can see it when you watch them play. Yesterday, it's like, it was like, I mean, little leaguers had more energy. You could just see it in them. Like, why do I want to play for a guy who doesn't back me or support me?
Well said.
You just watch it, and you're like, I mean, I feel sorry for them. And like, oh, you're going to make roster moves? They're probably thinking, my God, please send me out of here. Send me anywhere.
Anna's fired up.
Anna, do you want me to connect you with Chris Kynard about possibly getting a job? Because you're damn good at this stuff.
But I mean, and again, I heard you guys, and everybody's talking like, who else would manage? At this point, according to Davey, the coaches don't have anything to do, so get rid of all of them. Apparently, it's all the players, according to him. I mean, it's like, anybody, at this point, I feel 100% Davey has lost the locker room. He's lost it. And when you lose your locker room, you're going to get nothing. And when you couldn't beat Miami in at least one game.
Yeah, that's a bad look.
And you've got, okay, yeah, you've got Colorado coming in. And at this point, I feel the team, I mean, yeah, okay, so we beat Colorado. Yippee, skippy doodah. I mean, we're only beating a team that's hardly hardly worse than we are right now.
Yeah.
We all had so many, we all thought, oh my God, we have a chance. I'm tired of Rizzo telling me we're rebuilding whatever the hell it is that he's talking about, because we have no one, because no one can spend money. McKenzie Core, I feel so sad for him. I'm like, poor guy. He's probably thinking, please somebody trade me. Somebody trade me to anywhere at this point.
Anna, God bless you.
I just feel bad. And like I said, I look at this and I cannot handle a coach who throws this team under the bus. I just can't.
Appreciate it, Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
You all have a great day. Hopefully the sun will shine again. And again, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Anna.
She's fired up.
Dark times in Natstown, man. Jeff, load these phones up. There might be another Anna out there.
Yeah. To her point, McKenzie Gore yesterday, six innings, gave up two runs, only struck out five, but I think he's in the Major League League again. He's 3-6 on the year, JP, with a 2.89 ERA.
Bro, so you know me, Toby. I love when young pitchers find it, and they just start dealing.
He's found it.
I've made a point of watching every Gore start. That last start against the Mets, you knew what was coming, and it was just so depressing. Listen, Anna may have impacted my opinion. I still don't know how, does it change anything? Does it get better? But hell, if you lose the locker room, then you got to go.
That's my thing right there. If he has lost the locker room, then he's got to go. I don't know that he's lost the entire locker room, but I can tell you he's lost at least a little bit, I'm sure, because you wouldn't be getting reports that players were frustrated, dismayed, pissed off, like you heard from Andrew Golden. So clearly something has happened in that clubhouse. I don't know who it is. I don't know how many, but you've at least lost a guy or two. And if that's the case, and that's going to keep going throughout the season, then you're going to lose more and more as the season goes on. And then it's not going to get any better. Because here's the thing, JP. They could win 3 or 4 against Colorado and then lose 9 straight on their road trip. And then you're coming home to one of the best teams in baseball, to Detroit. It's like they could easily end this losing streak and win 3 or 4, or even win all 4, and then be right back on a losing 9 out of 10 streak, and you're suddenly looking right at the Rockies. You're looking right at the Marlins as some of the worst teams in baseball, because you're frankly not that far ahead of anybody aside from the Rockies right now.
Landfill, you're an undercover seam head. You like to keep it quiet, but you love the baseball. What do you think they should do with Davey?
At some point, you just got to make change. I think I should do it. I mean, it's probably going to happen at the end of the year anyway.
So your O's made a change, JP, right? They fired Brandon Hyde, and they're clearly a different team in terms of where they're at. They were supposed to be going to the playoffs and severely underachieved. Then they move on from Hyde. Sometimes you just need a change, like Landfill saying. Sometimes I don't know that the messaging
changes. Don't look now,
changes.
The O's have won 5 in a row.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. They're playing better baseball. It's not as if Mancelino is just somehow had the touch of God on this team. It's just sometimes the voice, the message grows stale. Davey's been
and
there for
forever.
And in that
sport especially, where it's just so monotonous, you know what I mean? And it just goes on and on. Like, sometimes maybe it changes. All right, we got callers, and Landfill's going to kill me because we're late. Matt, Charlie, Kevin, we're taking your calls when we come back. Shout out to Anna, straight phone call God.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. People are mad, man. People are mad. They're banging on the castle doors, pissed off. Shout out to Anna. Tremendous caller. Anna in Fairfax. You call in anytime. Jeff, right to the front of the line for Anna. Nats have lost 8 in a row, 11-13, 1-9 in their last 10. I mean, I don't know. I only got to watch the very end yesterday. Was it a GIDP to lose a game?
Yep. With James Wood on deck.
Yeah, dude. Like.
And by the way, I don't blame Davey for this. He's trying to make a shakeup. You know who could have been in that spot if he would have been in his normal spot in the order? C.J. Abrams. Instead, you got Alex Cole. He tried to make a change, and he gets screwed again. Like, it's just, even when Davey tries to do different things, it's just, it's not going well for him. Nothing's going their way right now.
People are mad. My guy Charlie's in College Park. Chuck, what do you think?
Well, I'm not mad. I don't think they should replace Davey. Ted Williams once said, the hardest thing to do in sports is hit a baseball, and I tend to agree with him. They're leaving too many men on base and not hitting clutch situations. I'd like to know what their team batting average is and their slugging percentage is. You know, you can't play the game for the players. They can say what they want about management and salaries and this and that. Davey can't produce on the field like the players do. When there's men on base, you've got to come up with hits. They re-signed Josh Bell, try to get some punch back in the lineup. That's been, in my opinion, their major problem the last 3 or 4 years. I listen to a lot of their games. They're leaving a lot of men on base. That means less runs. That means losses. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call, Chuck.
Nationals are 22nd in batting average. In slugging percentage, they are 21st. They're not hitting. And he's not wrong. Runners in scoring position recently has been horrendous.
Dude, I'm not trying to be devil's advocate. If he's lost the locker room, I understand it. Who did you think was going to hit? Wood hits. Abrams hits sometimes. Look at this lineup. What is Davey doing wrong? Who, Landfill, who was the guy you love they signed that hit 170? Remember the guy they signed that had hit a couple homers? This is like 2 years ago. The dude they gave $5 million deferred to?
Oh, Joey Gallo?
Yeah.
They're still paying him this year.
That's like what they're doing. Who's supposed to hit? You don't spend any money. And then one dude that was supposed to hit didn't in Dylan Cruz. Like, if he's lost the locker room and the vibes are incorrect in a marathon sport like baseball, okay, I get it. But like, don't be mad that Josh Bell is being Josh Bell.
Yeah.
Like, did we think Jose Tena was going to turn into Brooks Robinson?
No, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, the team itself is not put together to win ball games, and I think part of that is Rizzo, but a majority of that is ownership, the fact that you're not spending to go get guys, and I think the coaching staff plays into it. It's all. Everyone deserves blame for this.
Nathaniel Lowe he's been in the bigs for 7 years. He's a career 267 hitter. You think are you expecting Wade Boggs' numbers just because he likes Navy Yard? Like, what the? Matt is in D.C. Hello, Matt.
What's going on, Matt?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's hard following Anna.
Anna's a boss.
Stengel, Weaver. But anyway, I have to say that, you know, if Davey Martinez felt that it was right to give him a little smack on the snout, I think it was probably the correct move. I mean, that's part of being a good motivator of players, is knowing if they need a good smack on the snout. And, you know, baseball is a very, like, yeah, we've had a bad couple weeks. We've had a great May. So far, we're having a terrible June.
Well, real quick. Before that Mets series, Davey had other comments that kind of went a little bit viral, more so just in the Nats community, where he had kind of alluded, hey, if things don't change, some changes need to be made, hey, and maybe talking more so about the lineup. I think that was his message to the players saying, hey, figure it out. I think this was more so not a message to the players as much as he was standing up for his coaching staff and inadvertently threw his players under the bus.
Yeah, I suppose that's possible. That's reasonable. I don't know what pressure he's getting about bench coaches. We want to get rid of Geraldo Parra. I mean, I don't. I don't care what he does. I want to keep him. I get that. I just feel like you know, this team, it's young. There's a lot of talent there. But, you know, it's like, is it this year or, you know, should we have gotten the Jason Wirth kind of signing this year? I don't know. You know, in Rizzo, I trust. I mean, the thing about, you know, it's fun to bash the learners, but look at this recent, you know, we wouldn't have Abrams, James Wood, all these incredibly talented young players if they had spent the money. And, I don't know if the learners are wrong about that. I don't know. I have a different feeling about it because it worked out so well the last time. I mean, they got rid of Bryce Harper. I didn't get rid of him, but they didn't re-sign him. And they won a World Series.
Yeah, but you also, when they let go of Bryce Harper, spent 6-for-140 on Patrick Corbin. Before that, you spent what was then thought to be one of the worst pitcher contracts ever, but turned out to be great, in Max Scherzer. They're not doing either of those things right now.
You know, let me tell you something. Just for Corbin, I mean, I must admit, I really enjoyed watching him pitch well last week. I was like, oh, my God, here's the Corbin that we,
Well, and that doesn't help matters, right? When you have guys like Eric Fetty came back here against this team, pitched a complete game, shutout, and beat this team. Patrick Corbin, he lost the game, but he pitched a complete game, 8 innings, only gave up 2 runs. That also doesn't help matters when guys that were here under Davey Martinez's regime go other places and suddenly figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say that that's the case with necessarily either of them, certainly Corbin, because I think he's getting up there. But, I have to interject a stupid personal thing. My mother passed a year ago, and you think about certain things come up, and you think about her, a dearly departed. But Eric Fetty and Patrick Corbin, like, shutting us down in complete games or whatever, those are two times I was like, my mom would have been like, oh.
She would have sounded like Anna.
Mom, yeah, I was like, what is, like, Eric Fetty? She wouldn't have believed it. Let's put it that way. But
Thank you for the call, Matt. I got a boogie here. I appreciate you, man. Thank you. All right, last one. Kevin's pissed, too. Kevin, what do you want?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I just wanted to say that, I feel the same way Anna does a lot of times. The whole house gets mad at me. I scream so loud at the TV sometimes when I'm watching the games. But the situation is just really complicated with ownership, especially since the old man died and left the team to his family, I think. The pie's divided into so many pieces right now. And after COVID, and the learners lost money with real estate. I'm not saying they're not still rich or anything like that, but there's so many people and everything that...
Tell them to sell it, Kev. We got to run. Thank you for the call, bro. Appreciate you listening, man. When we come back, somebody that's in the trenches, boots on the ground, Spencer Nussbaum from the Washington Post will join the program.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.